about.
Do you have royal wedding fever?
To be honest, I didn't even know there was a wedding happening.
It's over there in the UK.
Oh, nice, 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 nice.
All royalty and
if you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Andrew, how you doing, young man?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. You got Bean and you got Allie here. I understand your mom lets you listen to the show.
Yeah.
Have you learned anything from us?
Not really.
Okay, that's about right. That's about right.
Have you ever had a dream that you had you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
And now. Our feature presentation.
Lasso was a guy trying to do Chewbacca. And not well. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin.
Now you go ahead.
Okay. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 21st of May.
Mm-hmm. Kevin? He doesn't know what it is.
I don't.
You have some splaining to do.
How about this? There it is.
You have some splaining to
do. The confusion on his face. I'm like, wait till the sax comes in. Hold on.
That's so funny.
What? How?
Really?
Who?
Look.
When?
Because.
Why? But seriously, though.
But seriously, though.
Yeah, that's what we're asking. But seriously.
But that's my answer.
No, but the question is, how were you and Dave in the desert hanging out with Kenny G this weekend? Sounds like a bad...
It's the weirdest sentence ever.
It is. I mean, seriously.
How great is that picture?
And amazing.
Did you beat him over the head with his little piccolo or whatever it is he plays?
It's a piccolo, yeah.
Are you kidding?
I know, it's an alto sax. I'm kidding. Oh, is it soprano?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Because it's high.
I thought it was alto. So how, but why? Why was Kenny G even there?
Well, that was my first question. I saw him, I was like, is that Kenny G?
I mean, my guess would have been he brought his kids.
No.
Okay.
Came out on stage.
Oh.
With one of the acts that I didn't see. I wasn't there when it happened. But everybody's like, did you guys see Kenny G come out? That was weird.
And he came out and played or just...
Yes.
Just
danced?
Just crowd surfed.
Yodeled.
No, he played, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm. So somebody's song, he came out and played.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
So then I saw him and I was like, oh, we need to take a picture. That would be so great. Dave, come on, come on, come on, come on. We ran over there. We took a picture with him.
Was everybody swarming Kenny G? Because I'm sure everybody who saw him had the same thought.
I mean, not technically.
Really?
I mean...
Was he walking around fairly unencumbered by fans?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a surprise.
I mean, except for Dave and me, I didn't see anyone else.
Although no one else knew who he was.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. What do you think the average age is for the EDC visitor?
Average? I don't know. 23?
Yeah, they don't have
24.
Yeah. No idea like who Kenny G is.
Yeah.
None.
So that one's going in the scrapbook, right?
I mean, right.
I think my favorite part of that picture, not just that he's at EDC, you have glitter on your face.
I do. I have both sides.
Picture with Kenny G.
They had this paste stuff they were putting on. I was like, do my whole face. Let's go.
And what was that about?
Everybody has glitter, Bean. Come on.
Oh, I see. So
catch up with the times.
You would stand out.
When
you didn't have glitter.
When in Rome.
You'd stand out like Kenny G. That's how they knew it was him. Glitter on his face. Is that Kenny G? No, he has glitter. See? Brilliant.
Did you tell him who you were?
No.
You were just a random fan asking for a Kenny G selfie.
Why would he care?
I don't know. I'm just trying to picture the scene. Just trying to see how it all went down. That's all.
And I don't know if you can tell in the picture, but he's not thrilled.
He doesn't look as happy as he could, but I had to respect Dave's caption.
What was it?
Just a few G's hanging out in the desert. I was like, all right, Dave, you win. Super sexy.
I have heard that he is a super nice guy. Like, really, really genuinely
seemed
a
like
nice, fun guy.
You know, people want to put him in a box like they do Michael Bolton and some other people just because
they
of the style
him
of music.
In a box?
No. I mean, they just want to think they can't be cool because of the kind of music they make. But I've heard he's actually a real fun guy.
I didn't get that vibe in those 4 seconds.
No, I understand. Well, we were all, am I speaking for you, Allie? What I would say, we were a little bit jealous.
Totally jealous.
Little
what
bit
do you
jealous
mean, a little bit?
Of a Kenny, mean? G, what? A Kenny G yeah. selfie? Are you kidding me?
Huge.
But just for the comedy.
Well, sure.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
But... All right, listen, that's not a given with you two. Wait, hold on. You for the comedy?
Me for the comedy.
Bean?
Yeah, for the comedy.
Okay. Oh, not for the comedy.
Not for the comedy, not for Bean.
For the comedy. By the way, he has sold over 75 million albums, Kenny G has.
Yeah. I don't have Big anything deal. To say to that.
No, I just thought, for folks who may still not know who he is, he's that guy, and he was very popular at one time.
I'll repost a picture if you want to see that. It's at the Kevin, that Kevin Ryder.
What is thing that? Two.
Kevin Feed. Confused.
By the way, Dave is not here today, Allie, because he stayed for more EDC. He went to an act that went on at 4:15 this morning.
Oh, man.
And was playing till 5:30.
He's still there.
Weird.
Yeah, he's still there. Yeah. I mean, the act he was excited about seeing just got off stage 9 minutes ago.
Oof.
So that's a schedule for you. All right.
Let's call him. You want to call him?
I mean, we
just quickly before thing two.
He's let's call him instead of thing two. He's definitely awake. There's no question he's awake.
Yeah,
sure.
No question.
Let's dial him up.
All right. Chip's dialing.
Don't need that.
That's starting over.
There we go. A little dialing music for your new friend, Kenny G.
Do we have to ask Dave's permission?
Define friend.
Technically, we do, yes.
He's not going to answer.
But we know he's probably getting back to his room right now.
Yeah. Oh, no, he hasn't left yet.
Oh, you think he's staying around for the next act?
Yeah, he's still there.
All right, thing two.
All right, yeah, let's do thing two.
And this keeps it in Las Vegas, which is why I thought it would be appropriate to put these two together.
All right.
The mother effing Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is one of the great, for folks who don't even care about hockey, please listen to me when I tell you it's one of the most remarkable stories in the history of sports and has the potential to even be more remarkable if they end up winning the Stanley Cup in their first season. There are teams like Toronto who haven't even been to the Stanley Cup in like 50 years or something, right?
Yeah.
Or won one at least in 50 years. And here's a team like Las Vegas made out of spare parts.
No,
not their first year.
Not really, no.
Here's the thing. Well, they were all cast-offs from other teams.
Not really, no. Each team had to unblock a certain number of players.
Right.
Like they got Braden McNabb from us, and he was a great defenseman.
They got some good players.
Yes.
There's no question
about
that.
So they can cherry pick all of these players from all different teams. And it's not an all-star team, but it's not just scraps either. I mean, they really got some good players.
It's not scraps, but people are making it out to seem like they got the best players from each team.
That's not true either, right?
No.
Somebody did some great coaching to be able to put those players who had never played together before and turn them into this team.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Right?
Agreed. That's amazing. Yes. I mean, with what we said, it's amazing.
Chip, you have a hockey podcast, so I guess you get to say something.
Yes. Totally Offsides. Go check it out on iTunes and krock.com.
But that's it. Like, that's all she has.
That's all I have to say. But yeah, it's one thing to have. Like, they're relentless with their, they can roll four lines and keep coming at you. And that's one thing. And then another thing, like, you knew with these players coming together, but you didn't know how the chemistry would be and stuff like that. So that part is remarkable that, sure, yeah, you got all these great second line players, but the kudos to the GM and the coach for picking these players. And then the fact that they're all playing together, they're playing awesome.
And what's that?
Marc-Andre Fleury, by the way.
Marc-Andre Fleury is playing out of his mind.
Unbelievable.
What's the deal with their mascot that looks like a dinosaur?
I don't
know. Oh, Chance?
Yeah, who is he? What's
Chance
he?
Is the
what's
name?
He,
name
what's
is,
he yeah, supposed to be?
Worst name.
A Gila monster, I think?
Oh, is that what it is?
Or a dragon? I don't know. It looks like it's kind of lizard.
And what's the deal with the Medieval Times pregame shows?
Oh, it's so embarrassing.
Favorite. You
so
love it.
Embarrassing.
Kevin loves it's gaudy and cheesy, but I think for Vegas,
I don't know. No, because in Vegas they have Cirque du Soleil and a bunch of different. They have high quality stuff like that. This looks like the cast off from Excalibur.
No, but I'm saying like, the
middle aged school that couldn't get into Excalibur. These are those people.
But the fans there love it. Like it's crazy.
The fans there love.
I'm just saying,
let me ask you a question.
Like, I wouldn't love it.
Right. Let me ask you a question. Yeah. If the Golden Knights weren't winning, if it was a terrible season, you think the fans would love it? I don't think so.
Not.
I think it would
feel like a night at a minor league baseball park if they weren't winning.
But I think it plays into the fact that they're doing well and like everything surrounding it. It's just like it just builds the hype. Like it's an
embarrassment.
They bought in just because. And, I mean, of course, if the team was not doing well, they would not buy in like that. But. They help each other. It doesn't.
So are we rooting for them then?
Absolutely not.
Over Washington or Tampa?
100% not.
Really?
I've turned. I'm going Knights.
Are you? No.
Yeah. Allie?
Absolutely Knights.
Because it's awesome for hockey.
Absolutely. Yeah. And anyone that says, I could never. No. You don't like hockey. Period. If you can't root for another team to win, not saying you, Kevin, because you're going to root for the Capitals, but people that are like, I don't even care anymore. It's the worst. Then you don't like the sport. You just like rooting for your own team and being an a-hole.
Because these playoff series have been amazing. All of them.
This is the problem with them winning the cup. And by the way, I agree. It would be a great story. The problem is fans. Some fans suck.
But these fans, hold on a second, Kevin. These fans are at the end of a 7-month drought without going to the Stanley Cup final.
They've been working their whole lives towards this.
What about all the parents and grandparents who have passed before they have a chance to see
it? So sad, Kevin.
Win one for them, for the family.
Look, where do you know that we have a-hole fans in different places?
Right.
You know.
LA.
San Jose.
Yeah, San Jose.
Vancouver.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some horrible fans.
Yeah.
Now we have a team that might win it in the first year.
Yeah.
And now it's a whole other group of a-hole fans.
And if they have a parade, do they shut down like the main streets? That's going to affect my tourism. I mean, really, let's think about this.
I don't know. I can't. Look, going to the finals is an amazing story. Let's just let it end there.
Okay.
And in heartbreak?
And go Caps. Yes.
All right.
So that's a thing. By the way, I was on a plane. I just want to tell this quickly. I was on a plane on Southwest on the way over to Vegas on Friday. And a guy wanted to sit on the window when I was on the window. And usually I'm like, I don't care. Okay, go ahead. And I looked up and he was wearing a Golden Knights hat. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
nope.
You know, I like the window.
God. All right.
Does that make me a dick?
No.
Okay.
Respect.
But yes and no?
No.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
How does it feel, Kevin, to be so hot, so good looking, so handsome?
What's that from?
Christine, what's that show from that has that adorable Kevin on it?
My favorite show is Final Space.
There you go. Final Space, right. Kevin.
We have some highlights from the B-Team podcast. This is a time when Bean got a jaywalking ticket. And by the way, who gets a jaywalking ticket?
Right.
Ever. So I was going to represent him, and we went to court. And I went into court as his lawyer.
Oh, jeez.
And we pled.
Which already sounds illegal, by the way.
Yes.
To represent yourself as an attorney in a court.
And we pled insanity for Bean.
Jeez.
For Bean.
Oh, it was I'm sure that
went over well for the bench, right?
I mean, no. He did threaten to throw us in jail in the next 5 minutes. So
well, I don't remember anything about it, so
you
I'm very excited to hear
from
Katie.
Oh, my God, he was angry. Oh, so good. Your favorite part of the royal wedding. Let's talk this up.
Oof.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's chop it up and really get into it.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Harvey Levin from TMZ like we do. Mm-hmm. And great news also, and we've got your tickets for the Galaxy. It's K-Rock night at the Galaxy Friday night, and we've got your tickets in our section. If you'd like, coming up this morning on K-Rock, we'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:56.
By the way, passage to the red carpet premiere of the new Johnny Knoxville film that looks hilarious. You can't believe how many bones he broke on this movie set.
Yeah,
the guy cannot not get hurt.
Anyway, it's called Action Point. We've got those coming up. And also Disneyland Resort tickets for Pixar Fest, all on the way this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening?
Well, some box office over the weekend. As expected, Deadpool 2 finally overcame the Avengers Infinity War. They had a $125 million debut for Deadpool 2.
Is that good?
I feel like it is. Okay. It's
seems
not
solid.
It's not as much as Deadpool, which had $132 million in their debut a couple years ago.
I don't understand why we do this.
Don't think it's real bad when you make $125 million.
I also don't understand when they make guesses. Oh, yeah, it's going to be $140. Oh, it didn't perform. What? It made $125 million.
Didn't Rhett Reese say the first one, the guy, whoever was giving the estimates, was like, could make between $50 and like $125 million. And he was like, wait, what? You can't do that? You can't give that leeway? So Deadpool 2 came in first. Avengers Infinity War, really, $28.7 million. Not bad. Book Club, which I believe was called the Horny Geezer movie, is what our six-second review guy said. $12.5 million, not bad. Coming in at number four, Life of the Party, followed by Breaking In, Show Dogs. That was a debut at $6 million. Coming in at number six, followed by Overboard, A Quiet Place, Rampage, and still holding strong, being to that 10th spot, RBG.
Yeah!
With $1.3 million.
What?
Really?
Can't wait to go see it.
That's your response to
you? Haven't seen it?
You've been talking about it for 2 weeks.
I'm very busy, as you
You're
know.
You're not! Go see the movie! You can't talk about a movie all week and then not go. Unacceptable.
I haven't gotten to it yet. Hey, what is the Show Dogs, by the way? Please tell me it's not a sequel to Snow Dogs, is it?
No.
Okay, good. Do you know anything about it?
Nope.
Okay.
What do I look like? I Google all these movies before I read them? Come on.
All right.
Give me a break. Did I sound a little like Judge Judy right there? Just pissed. Give me a break. 2018 Billboard Music Awards last night, live from Las Vegas. And host Kelly Clarkson led off the show with quite the emotional plea. She started off the show, by the way, she was the host, saying, I'm sick of doing a moment of silence. Because they asked her right before, let's do a moment of silence. And she said, why don't we stop moments of silence and do a moment of action? Why don't we do a moment of change? Change what's happening because it's horrible. Mamas and daddies should be able to send their kids to school, to church, to movie theaters, to clubs. You should be able to live your life without fear. And she went on saying, we need to change everything. We're failing our families. We're failing our communities. This is, of course, all in response to, I assume, the latest school shooting. Mm-hmm. That was Friday.
Has to be, yeah. Yeah.
Were there more?
It was
the
in
weekend?
Texas, right?
Yeah, in her home state.
From.
Yeah, she's a Texas girl. And it was then amusing to see the internet light up with people saying, oh, the Hollywood elite, like she knows anything. She's from Texas, born and raised, lives in Tennessee now, I believe.
Yes, she
like,
does.
Like, couldn't be more of a
country
girl.
And is a gun owner,
girl.
By the way.
Yeah, come on. Let's stop with you have to be a Hollywood elite to think that something needs to change. Yummy.
Everyone who's famous is not a Hollywood elite.
Yeah, apparently if you make money, all of a sudden you're famous. You become a Hollywood elite.
Huh. I guess so.
Very interesting. It's a very interesting
Again, thing. Born and raised in Texas, lived most of her life now in Tennessee, gun owner. So, I don't know. Listen to what she has to say. Everyone else?
Maybe listen to what other people have to say, too.
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely. Just FYI for some Billboard awards. Top duo or group, Imagine Dragons. Top touring artist, U2. Top rock artist, Imagine Dragons. Top rock album, Imagine Dragons Evolve. Top rock song, Imagine Dragons Believer. So apparently there's one rock group, and their name is Imagine Dragons. So.
They're pretty much flying the flag for the whole format right now.
Absolutely. Some birthdays for you. Singer Gautier and actor Mr. T.
Shut up, fool!
But I'm just saying happy birthday.
Shut up, fool!
Okay. And that's what's happening.
All right, but this is the last one, right? Just this one and then done?
This
so, Kevin,
update or the wedding?
Update, both.
when you're in,
well, we know the wedding's not going to be the last one, but I'm just saying.
When you're in Las Vegas for EDC, did you just stay in the room Saturday morning so you could watch the wedding, or did you somehow record it and then you watched it when you got back that night? Or
all the music stopped, and then on the big screens behind all the DJs, they played it.
Oh, wow.
Perfect!
So we were all, you know, we could all watch and cheer
as a community.
Yes.
Let's do a royal wedding update, shall we?
Ladies and gents, it's time for a royal wedding update, where we give you useless information that nobody should give a f*** about, but inexplicably do. It's Kevin and Bean's Royal Wedding Update 2018.
It was a beautiful, lovely, touching, emotional, inspiring morning.
Shut up, Allie.
Was it Allie? Didn't you love it?
I didn't watch a second of it.
Yes!
What?
Yes!
I was never going to watch a second of it.
But it was the royal wedding!
I have zero interest in it.
I'm so happy.
I don't even understand that.
She was playing along last week because it tortured me.
Right.
How could you not?
I did watch one of the clips, though. I saw the group do Stand By Me, and that was beautiful.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, in case you're wondering, Kevin. Over 30 million Americans watched the royal wedding on Saturday. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good number these days. 18 million in Britain, and about a little over 2 billion around the world. Watch Prince Harry and Meghan Markle get married.
Don't give a damn.
I can tell this is going to be a tough slog trying to get you guys interested. There were a couple of moments, though, that were kind of strange for me. One of them is, have you ever heard this question asked in vows? Okay, so he's done, the minister is up there, and he's done the old, you know, will you, Harry, take this woman, Meghan? Will you, Meghan, take this? And then he snuck this in. And tell me if this is the language you would expect to hear at Windsor Castle in front of the Queen.
The gift of marriage brings husband and wife together in the delight and tenderness of sexual union.
Now, what?
What?
How?
Wow.
How are they getting it? That's kind of implied. People kind of understand that that's a married thing. But have you ever heard it brought up in a church?
No.
Did he turn to the crowd and go, am I right?
Harry, you're going to be nailing that later, right? I mean,
that's just weird.
Isn't it weird?
Do you agree, Harry, to tap that ass?
I mean, essentially, that's what he's saying. I mean, it's so explicit to bring that up. Again, I don't know why it has to be mentioned in the ceremony.
I love it.
And then there's a part of many wedding ceremonies where they ask if there's anyone who has any reason why this couple should not be married. And the intention for that is for somebody to stand up if they know that the person is already married, if they know that the person is operating under a fraudulent identity. I mean, it's really so that the wedding is legal, right?
I didn't think they did that anymore.
They not only do they still do that, not only did they do that in this ceremony, but then they turned and asked the bride and the groom to turn themselves in, too. Same question. And what a heat lamp this minister put on Harry and Meghan, too.
Harry and Meghan, the vows you are about to take are to be made in the presence of God, who is judge of all and knows all the secrets of our hearts.
I mean, he's basically saying, if you lie now, lightning is coming through this church and striking you dead.
Therefore, if either of you knows a reason why you may not lawfully marry, you must declare it now.
Now, would they get all the way to the altar and then all of a sudden, in a crisis of conscience, they would go, you know what? We're actually brother and sister. I didn't want to say anything, but I guess, you know, when you put it that way, when God's got the spotlight on me, I guess I kind of need to let you know.
She should have said, you know what? Not thrilled about joining the royal family.
I don't know that that's the time to hash out any of your concerns about the marriage. I feel like you have that conversation before. All right. I've seen this at a bunch of weddings, too, but help me understand why the audience laughed at this.
Harry, will you take Meghan to be your wife? Will you love her, comfort her, honor and protect her, and forsaking all other, be faithful to her as long as you both shall live?
I will.
Everybody just thought Prince Charles.
No, you could, if you listen, you could hear the crowd outside.
Right, I
heard
that.
Start cheering, so people inside started laughing because there were, that was funny.
They weren't thinking about Prince Charles?
No.
They were just laughing because they could hear people from outside, not because they knew Harry was lying through his teeth.
Yes, come on.
Well, I'm just saying.
Lying through his teeth, the people there.
One of the things you love about ceremonies like this is all the rigmarole that goes along with it. And I am telling you, they had like four or five different ministers and speakers. They had a lady reading poetry.
Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past.
I mean, there was a lot of that going on, and I don't know what that has to do. Then they brought out a 19-year-old kid to play the cello. And that went on while everybody was sitting around going, wow, it's getting kind of late here. I don't know what that is. Allie, your gospel choir was amazing.
So darling, darling, stand by me.
Now, Kevin, I know you would have hated that, but it was a touching morning for how much Meghan brought her African American roots and experiences into the church.
I'm down with that because I didn't think she'd be allowed to do that at all.
It looks like
the royal family blows.
They don't blow at all. It looks like they were very welcoming to all of the changes that she made. I mean, there was a lot of soul in this wedding, which you don't normally see in white people weddings, particularly in the royal family. That's for sure.
Shut up, fool.
And then there was my favorite guy, and this is the last clip we'll play for now.
For now? Forever?
Well, because we've got we'll talk more later. But, Allie, you saw Bishop Michael Curry trending probably over the weekend, right? Did you see any of his remarks?
I did.
He is the head of the Episcopalian Church, and he is a phenomenal speaker and a phenomenal preacher. And he spoke for way too long. Way too long.
Then he's not phenomenal.
He's phenomenal.
Because speakers know how long they should speak. Really good ones do.
He was bringing his point home in many ways. But, Kevin, you would have enjoyed very much the history of fire that was a part of his speech.
What?
I mean, the history of fire.
The discovery or invention or harnessing of fire was one of the great scientific and technological discoveries in all of human history. Fire, to a great extent, made human civilization possible. Fire made it possible to cook food and
you're watching him and you're going, this is true and it's good information, but now?
But we're familiar with fire.
Yeah.
Is now the time to be giving us the history of fire?
Made human migration around the world a possibility, even into colder climates.
And Harry and Meghan are like, you know, we got a reception. We're paying a DJ.
Age without fire. No Iron Age without fire.
You think everybody that gets up front goes, this is my chance? Everyone's watching like...
But I don't know.
Why?
I was waiting for the Kevin of the royal family to marine crawl out of Windsor Castle.
Right?
You know how when a meeting starts to slow down, Kevin, you look for your exit?
Right.
I think the Kevin of the royal family was busy getting married.
Hold on.
But those of us who came on cars, fire, the controlled, harnessed fire, made that possible. I know that the Bible says, and I believe it, that Jesus walked on the water. But I have to tell you, I didn't walk across the Atlantic Ocean to get here.
Right?
Controlled fire in that plane got me here.
Let me tell you
how
a little bit
can he talk about fire?
Me. I'm telling you, this goes on. We're nowhere near done. It was so crazy because he talked about love for a bunch of minutes, and then he decided to talk about fire for a bunch of minutes, and then he kind of brought it all home. I think he was my favorite part of the whole ceremony, but it was unexpected, I'll tell you that. So they're married, y'all. And, Queen Elizabeth, you'll love this, Kevin. Never smiled one time. Now, she is 92, but I don't know, your grandson is getting married. It's okay to show a little emotion, right?
She's a bitch.
Never smiled one time.
That makes me so happy.
It's a royal wedding, you guys.
Right.
You go to hell, you son of a bitch.
That was Kevin and Bean's Royal Wedding Update 2018. You.
I always look forward to bright and early on a Monday morning when we check into the newsroom at TMZ.com. Catch up with a good friend, Harvey Levin. Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
How was your weekend, man?
It was good.
I am the only one in this room that watched The Royal Wedding, and I am being mocked for it. Did you watch it?
I came in. I had to... I was about to swear. I'm sorry.
Okay, but
I had to come in at like 3:30 in the morning on Saturday. But I got to say, I found it interesting.
All right, but let me ask you a question. If it wasn't your job, would you have watched it?
Blank no.
Okay, good.
Wow. I am really, I'm out, out on an island here right now.
Literally.
But I did. And I got to say, I really found it interesting. There were a couple of things that really struck me. And I don't know if you saw Bishop Curry.
Yes, we were just talking about him.
He was, I mean, we're going to have him on TMZ Live today.
He was great.
He was amazing.
Was he the one talking about fire?
Yes, he was the one who gave the history of fire for several minutes, which was kind of an odd choice at a wedding ceremony.
What the F?
You know what, though? It worked. I mean, he was talking about fire as, you know, a transformative thing in civilization, mm-hmm. and that love could become just as transformative if people kind of change their tune on everything. So
why didn't you say it like that?
I really thought it was spectacular.
That was much more concise than
you said. It much better.
Yeah, I agree.
Why? What was your takeaway?
Well, it's just that it took him so long.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
No, it just took him so long. It was 16 minutes to make a point that he could have made in four. That's all.
He was eloquent. It's just,
dude. It is. It's not like, you know, we're not doing, you know, a television show where there's a 7-second soundbite. Come on.
I know. But look, you've been in church, Harvey. You know how long the minutes go by in church. And let me just say this, and I know this is not going to be a popular thing. Way too much God in that ceremony. Who's with me?
What's wrong with you?
There was so much God.
What is
Jesus
wrong
Christ
with you?
This and Heavenly Father that and Holy Spirit over here. And come on with this.
Yeah, but you know what? They always have that stuff. But, I mean, by the way, I mean, there were moments like, honestly, did you hear the rendition of Stand By Me?
That was
amazing.
Beautiful.
It was great. It was really great.
Yeah, it was really cool to see. We talked about this, too. It's really cool to see them bring some church into church. You know what I mean? Like the way Americans do it.
It was, as weddings go, I thought it was pretty great, actually.
I do, too. And the bride could not have been more beautiful, by the way.
Oh, my God. She was amazing. Although, geez, what is the deal with those trains?
Her 30-foot train that the...
Yeah, I mean, why?
I don't know.
I mean, as soon as I start to get out of the car, I just thought, oh, God, there's going to be, like, dirt and mud and such.
Kevin's falling asleep.
Kevin.
I was stunned that it didn't get caught, like, in a car door.
Still talking about this?
Yes. Hold on, we're not done.
Is there anything else in the world going on?
So, it's the big entrance, and then you leave it to, like, a 3-year-old kid to hold this train.
Yes!
And it's like this poor kid is going to be, like, PTSD for the rest of his life.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys, Kevin's leaving.
Oh, come on, Kevin. We're having fun, Kevin.
We'll talk about something else.
Harvey.
He's out.
Wait a minute. We're not done with it. Did you see what Oprah's wearing? Just kidding. Okay, go on.
I thank you for at least backing my play that it was an entertaining ceremony to watch. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Well, listen, we already got
Is
time.
Kevin still there?
He's gone. He'll come back in when we change topics. All right, we already have time for one. You want to do Taylor or you want to do John Cena?
Oh, Taylor.
Let's do Taylor.
I just love this. So she has she did, you know, a remake of September, the Earth, Wind, and Fire hit.
Stand by. So that came out about a month ago or something like that, and it kind of landed with a little bit of a thud at the time.
a thud, but then Allie Willis, who co-wrote the song from Earth, Wind, and Fire, I got to say, I just would love to hire this woman if she wants a job. Come write for TMZ because you are awesome. So here's what she wrote. This is the best. I didn't really think she did a horrible job. Yes, I felt it was as lethargic as a drunk turtle dozing under a sunflower after ingesting a bottle of Valium. And I thought it had all the build of a one-story motel, but I mean, the girl didn't kill anybody. I just love that.
I mean, that's a good point. She didn't kill anyone.
Okay, wait a minute. So she goes on. I am honored you chose to do my song and that it meant enough to you that you wanted to personalize it to the goddamn 28th night of September. That you wanted to cover it with a banjo.
Look, Harvey, you know I love Taylor Swift. I mean, I adore her. I'm going to see her in concert tomorrow night, as a matter of fact. But she doesn't bring a great deal of soul to her material. That's not really her strong point.
Well, that song, I'm not sure, would have been the best choice. I mean, who am I to say?
Of course, yes.
I think there are people who are involved with Earth, Wind & Fire who kind of agree. I think the lead singer of Earth, Wind & Fire said he liked it.
Yeah. Well, that's a very funny quote. You're right. And I think you need to get her on the TMZ as well, along with the Bishop.
I want her bad.
Great chat. Thank you so much, TMZ.
Hey, can we keep talking about the wedding?
I'd love to.
Kevin will never come back.
TMZ airs on Fox Channel 11
Great
throughout the day.
Flowers.
TMZ live at 4. TMZ Sports Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox
Sports
1.
I will say this about the flowers. They were all given to local hospices around. So that's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Okay.
I'm trying to make it nice.
No, good point. Good point.
I'm trying to make it nice.
And her bouquet went on the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
There you go.
Wait, Harvey?
I got more. We can start talking about the hats now if you want.
Have a excuse me. I'm wearing a fascinator right now. Have a great week, Harvey. We'll talk to you next time.
Goodbye.
Pixar, you guys. Pixar Fest is a thing that is happening at the Disneyland Resort. How fun is that going to be?
All fun.
Yeah, it sounds
Has
great.
Pixar ever made a movie that is less than excellent?
No.
Mm-mm.
I don't think so.
Not one misstep. You can't say that about any other company.
Yep. Unbelievable franchise. Anyway, 4 packs of Disneyland Resort tickets for Pixar Fest happening now at the Disneyland Resort. We got them for you all day long on K-Rock at 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and 6. Details at krock.com. Hey, you guys, it's time for some great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
Can I just say something before we start?
Yeah.
I put up a lot of stuff on Instagram. Mm-hmm. When I put up a great news story, just a random story where it's like it restores your faith in humanity.
Mm-hmm.
It gets twice the views,
yep,
10 times the likes.
Yeah.
It's like everybody really is dying for that.
And yeah. Have you ever noticed that our listeners, no matter what story you put up that's even slightly happy, immediately they're like, hashtag great news. It makes me laugh so hard. People really enjoy this.
It is great.
I mean, we're changing lives, people.
Amen.
That's what's happening.
Take it easy.
Okay.
Yeah. They're not stories of us.
Oh, that's
right. All right. We're just relaying them.
Who's up first today?
I'll go first.
All right.
So Mother's Day, of course, was May 13th, a couple Sundays ago. And it's not a real easy day for a lot of people, whether you've lost your mom or you don't have a relationship with your mom, or if you are a mom and you haven't talked to your kids in a while. Like this woman, her name is Barbara Foy. She's 71. She's from South Carolina. And she decided that she was just going to go out, eat alone at a local Ruby Tuesday. She hadn't heard from her only son and was feeling pretty down in the dumps. And truth be told, she hadn't heard from him in quite a while. And she thought, well, maybe Mother's Day, he's going to reach out and call me. Mm. He didn't. So she's like, I'm just going to go and enjoy a nice meal.
This is your great news because it's really bumming me out.
It's going to take a turn.
Really bumming me out.
So she mentioned her situation to her server, Cabrera Hasty, who instantly empathized with her. And she then shared with her different coworkers in the back. She said, listen, we got to do something for this woman to cheer her up. So while she was eating her food, they pooled all of their tip money together, and one of them ran out to a nearby store to put together a gift basket. They filled it with notebooks, perfumes, pens, anything they could find, and then presented it to her at the table and said that they just wanted her to feel like royalty. And then they picked up the tab for her meal. These are three servers at Ruby Tuesday using all of their own money, which is absolutely unbelievable. And one of the servers, Mariah Brown, said, we were not okay with a mother feeling unloved on Mother's Day. Growing up, I was told to treat others the way you want to be treated. Me personally, if that was anybody's mom, I would have done the same thing. Obviously, tears shed, people losing it, people at other tables watching all of this go on. It was unreal. So Barbara Foy says that she was just so touched. The girls are so special. She plans on taking them all to lunch as a way of expressing her gratitude. And Ruby Tuesday.
Is she taking it to Ruby Tuesday?
We got to use your discount, though. How dare you? Here's such a wonderful thing. Ruby Tuesday, the management there, got wind of this. They gave those three employees a $1,000 bonus.
Wow.
Which is unbelievable. That is just, it's just beautiful how people can pay it forward. And then kindness really does, in this case, it paid off. It paid off for everyone. It made this woman feel loved and appreciated. These three got something out of it, just even giving to her. They weren't expecting a $1,000 bonus. So right. It's just a beautiful thing. Reach out to people. That's all I'm saying. And that's my great news.
My great news comes from Maui. After hiking to an obscure waterfall for a few hours, our week-long backpack vacation, we returned to our car to find that it had been destroyed.
Oh.
The windows were all broken. Everything was taken out of it. All of their belongings were gone. We had our plane tickets, our ID, keys to the car, no nice. Cash, no clothes, no wallet. Everything gone.
Why do people hike?
I don't think that's the point.
Okay.
And this is your definition of great news.
Right. Yes.
Right.
Well, it does turn.
Okay.
Okay.
We drove to the nearest town and asked if there was a police station where we could report the theft. The officer on duty was a native Hawaiian woman who was very sympathetic, took our information, invited us to have dinner with her.
Aww.
Why don't you come over to the house and have dinner? At the end of her shift, she took us to her own home. We were welcomed as precious guests by her large family. They insisted that we stay the night with them. The next morning, our angel police officer took us to the office of a local lawyer who managed an emergency fund for locals fallen on hard times. He suggested we borrow some money from this fund and we get home and pay it back whenever we could.
Oh, wow.
Don't worry about it. Just when you can pay it back, we trust you. After filling out some paperwork, they had enough cash to survive, an invitation to have lunch with the lawyer. This experience, which could have been a disaster for us, ended up an amazing time.
Wow. What an amazing takeaway for that family. And I assume they had kids.
It maybe. Doesn't say. It just had large family, so I would assume so as well.
Just
yeah.
to see that in action is
amazing.
That's beautiful.
And that's my great news.
All right, I think my great news is going to start off great. I'm not going to take people through the emotional roller coaster that you guys did.
You're better than us.
This is a man I saw on CNN the other day. His name is Paul Stankleski. He had recently become a pilot, started taking flying lessons, and started renting planes about the same time his family decided to adopt a dog. Now, these two things turn out to be connected because going through the adoption process with his dog opened his eyes to a world he did not know existed. He found out about kill versus no-kill shelter. Now, he lives in Pennsylvania where most pets are not put down, but he found out that there is a huge underground railroad of people who volunteer their time and their money and their energy to save as many animals as they can and get animals out of shelters where they just put them down if nobody adopts them, sometimes within a few days. Apparently, you guys, the further south you go in America, the more likely your dog is to be put down.
Really?
Once he could fly a plane, he put two and two together and said, hey, I can use my plane to save a bunch of dogs. And he started out of his own pocket paying for trips down to Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, going around to these shelters.
Wow.
Taking 15, 20 dogs out and flying them back up to Pennsylvania. The longer he did it, the more well-known it became. He started getting donations, and he was able to start a nonprofit charity called Flying Fur Animal Rescue, where they bought their own plane, and they have a deal set up with shelters in Connecticut and in New Jersey and New York. And he flies down twice a month down to the Deep South, loads up his plane. And by the way, flying by himself with 20 dogs in the plane.
That could be a nightmare if they're all barking and going crazy.
Oh.
He says every dog that steps foot on our plane, he calls them passengers, by the way, passengers.
See?
I'll look to who the most scared is, who the most terrified is, and know that if I put them next to me, they'll be calmed. A lot of times, depending on the size of my co-pilot, he'll kind of shimmy over and get on my lap and fall asleep while I'm flying.
Okay, not the point. Is he single?
No, he is not. He is not. Usually once the engine starts up, they hear the noise and the vibration. Everybody settles in. Some look out the window. Some fall asleep. It's usually a non-event. So he says it's bittersweet because he tends to bond, even though he's only in the plane for 2 or 3 hours with them. But he knows they're moving on, and it's what you have to do so that they can move on to their next step. So he has saved thousands of animals this way over the last few years.
That's amazing.
It is a very cool thing that he just came up with on his own and turned into a thing, and it's called Flying Fur Animal Rescue, if you want to check it out. So that is a hero, I think, Paul Stanleski, and that is my great news.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Hey, Allie, what's happening?
Oh, what's happening is Johnny Knoxville back in a movie, Action Point.
Can't wait.
You heard about this? It looks insane.
It does look insane.
Yeah, Knoxville stars as a crackpot owner of a low-rent, out-of-control amusement park where the rides are designed with, well, minimum safety for maximum fun.
And it's based on a true story, right? A real place.
Is it?
Is it really?
Yes.
I can't imagine. They made a decision as a company to make it unsafe because it's cheaper?
There were, you know, there was a time where there weren't as many regulations on businesses as there are now, and you could get away with a lot until people started getting hurt, and then they started changing those rules. That's my understanding. I could be wrong, but I think it's based on a real park.
Interesting. Well, Action Point is the theme park your mom doesn't want you to know about. No rules, no limits, just pure fun. If you would like to go to the red carpet premiere of Action Point at the ArcLight Hollywood on May 31st, how about a pair of passes right now? Callers.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067.
I love you.
20.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067.
I love you.
20 through 24 right now at 1-800-520-1067. You are going to win a pair of passes to the red carpet premiere of Action Point at the ArcLight Hollywood.
At one point, Johnny Knoxville popped out an eye while making this movie.
Popped out an eye?
Yes.
His own?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He got hurt.
Wait.
Seems bad.
He got hurt a lot. He broke up. We got to get Knoxville in to talk about this. This is the most. At what age does he go, you know what? I'm going to stop putting my body through the ringer for these movies.
How do you pop out an eye and now, like, he sees fine now?
Do you just pop it back in?
Yeah, he popped
like
it back
an elbow?
In.
Yeah, I don't think you pop an eye back in.
We're
right?
Gonna find. We're
no.
Gonna
we,
wait.
Maybe
let's
he
get
just
not,
holds it, then he can look behind him and all around.
Oh,
by
that's
turning
handy.
It. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good. All right. I think maybe we're gonna source everything that has happened so far.
That's always a good policy.
Yeah. All right. This is quite the bonus for the Las Vegas Golden Knights if they win the Stanley Cup. A rep for Sherry's Ranch, that's a legal brothel. Mm. They tell TMZ that they'd be happy to host a victory celebration at our adult resort. They're promising 24 women will be standing by and the entire sex menu will be available to the players on the house.
Finally, a professional athlete can get some action.
Right?
I
was just
going to
say, there's not a hockey player in the world that doesn't have his choice.
It's
they do not need that.
It's really true. Kevin, this job offer has your name written all over it.
All right.
Because it's for someone with a serious sweet tooth.
Oh.
The Mars Wrigley Confectionery is looking for you.
A taster?
The candy company, which makes M&M's, Skittles, Snickers, and Twix, is on the hunt for a confectionery connoisseur intern.
In?
Well, the perfect candidate must be a high school graduate. That's you.
Yes.
21 years of age or older.
Yes.
Yes. Experience in journalism. Yes.
Questionable.
Ish. Photo and video editing.
Can do.
Absolutely.
All right.
And be willing to relocate to Chicago.
Oh. I love Chicago.
Chicago's great.
Mm.
Here's the thing.
It's a tough one.
You get to taste the products.
All right, I'm in.
Produce a personalized batch of chewing gum and receive a year's salary. That's the best internship I've ever heard of.
Wait,
what is this?
That doesn't sound like an internship.
No.
Sounds like a job.
You come up with your own chewing gum flavor?
You're going to produce a personalized batch of chewing gum.
Hot Cheetos, Kevin.
Oh, Hot Cheetos gum.
Great idea.
Hot Cheetos gum.
That great
is
idea.
So disgusting.
Love
I don't
it.
Know. Check it out, Kevin.
Love it.
I think this is the job for you. I don't.
You're just saying basically this isn't the job for me?
No, that's not what I'm saying. Great news for you, Bean. Amazon has renewed the series The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel for a third season, even before the second season has finished being produced.
That's delightful news.
That is great news for you. Mm-hmm. And not sure if you've ever seen when James Corden plays the show Spill Your Guts or Fill Your Guts.
Yes.
If you haven't, celebrities are asked questions about their life, and they must either answer the question or eat pretty disgusting food. So either way, we as a viewer win, right?
Right.
He had Steven Tyler on from Aerosmith. He was asked how much money he spent on drugs during his life, or he'd have to eat head cheese. So Steven took the answer and said, I'm going to answer it. And said he'd easily spent about $2 million on drugs in his career.
Wow.
Quote, I snorted half of Peru.
Wow.
I was thinking that was low. Is that weird?
Like, that seems
of
high.
His caliber for that long, $2 million?
That seems like a lot of money, Allie.
It is a lot of money, but...
Maybe he got a lot of it for free.
Yeah. Not just first taste.
Right.
Right?
Do I not want to know how head cheese is made?
Probably not.
Probably
okay.
Not.
Yeah, right. Probably not.
Because it sounds bad.
It's not great. Yeah. Some birthdays for you. Singer Gautier and actor Mr. T.
Shut up, fool!
I'm just saying happy birthday, Mr. T. And that's what's happening.
It's weird to see people jump from I'm not positive what the answer is.
But also, you guys are posting videos like, oh, we're rehearsing for the weenie roast. And we're like...
It must be, you know, infallible word of God.
You guys are Blink 182.
Or, you know, and terrorists.
What are you doing? Like, but then it occurred to us...
You know, situations or UFOs.
Oh, I guess bands really rehearse for different festivals and different...
It's unidentified.
...situations, which we just thought, okay, you do...
It must be alien. You go, no.
The same old thing every time.
It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to. So happy to have a partner in that one.
So happy to have been there.
You guys are good together.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday morning. By the way, Kevin, it's been 45 minutes since we've had any kind of royal wedding talk.
Yeah, so that's fine. Don't worry about it.
And I think you
we're
know.
We're good. Royal wedding.
Our friend Nicole Alvarez is going to be joining us in about 15 minutes or so to recap the wedding from her perspective. And then we're going to be taking some calls from listeners about their favorite part of the royal wedding on Saturday. So all that coming up. But first this.
A long time ago, Bean and I were dumb. I mean, really now, too. But I mean, a long time ago, worse. We had just started, and Omar brought this to us because they play on the B-Team podcast. If you're interested in the Kevin and Bean Show, the B-Team podcast, you can get it the same place as you get at Kevin and Bean. And it's taking a look at some old stuff that we used to do.
Uh-huh. They do an amazing job on that show, and they come up with so much tape of things that I don't even remember, like this one that we're about to spotlight. What year do you think this was where this tape was made?
I don't know. 91 or 2, maybe? Really, okay. Really,
oh,
a long time
right
ago.
Right at the beginning.
Yeah.
All right. So and over 25 years ago.
So Bean gets a jaywalking ticket.
Okay.
Do those exist anymore?
I don't know. I don't remember the last time I heard of anyone getting cited for jaywalking.
So we decided it would be funny if I represented him in court and we pled insanity. That was our plan for jaywalking. And we also had a hidden mic.
What?
A mic that was recording stuff.
Which also might have been illegal.
No, in court?
In court. That may not have been the smartest thing.
You guys.
But we were trying to guess, like, what if the judge doesn't buy insanity, then what? And we steal an idea from David Letterman, and you'll hear this.
All right, it's Kevin and my client Bean. We're doing the walk of death now.
Man, I'm already getting nervous. I'm really getting nervous now.
We're heading down the sidewalk toward the courthouse. Building is right over there. We had to park a ways away. Now, I hope I can get back within 2 hours, or I'll get a parking ticket.
I know, for the darn meter.
Then we'll have to come back and fight it.
We're at the South Hill Station down in Los Angeles. Thanks a lot, Kevin, for taking me out for my final meal as a free man. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Carl's Jr. never tasted so good.
Well, I think you know you're going to get off with me as your lawyer.
Well, I hope that's true. Now, again, for those of you who have not been following this saga, I got a jaywalking ticket last month in Hollywood. I was walking against the light just between you and me because we're friends. I was guilty as hell. We're trying to get off, though. we're pleading insanity. But our big problem is we understand we've got Hangin' Henry for a judge.
Right.
And we're not sure that he's going to take kindly to the whole the insanity thing.
Now, you were going to or from the record store Green Hill?
On my way, on a little street called Cherokee in downtown Hollywood to a record store called Green Hill. That's where I was headed.
All right, we're going to plead insanity, but just in case, because I'm such a thorough lawyer.
Man, you have done your research.
Just in case insanity doesn't work, I've got Kevin and Bean's, we're stealing from David Letterman now, Kevin and Bean's top 10 reasons why Bean jaywalked.
Shall we try some of these out on each other before we face the judge?
Absolutely.
Reasons why I was jaywalking that day. Number 10, thought the hand on the don't walk sign was waving me across.
Right.
Number 9, to get to the other side. Number 8, at that moment, the evil spirit Bob inhabited my body.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7, I didn't want my friends to think I was a chicken. Number 6, the guy inside Green Hill said it would be okay.
You think he's going to buy any of these?
No. Number 5, I didn't want to be late for the Geraldo special on postal employees who worship the devil. Number 4, I was just doing what the little voices told me. Number 3, I was walking off a leg cramp. Number 2, I thought it would be okay with a purchase. And the number 1 reason why I was jaywalking that day in Hollywood...
If insanity doesn't work.
These damn kids today got no respect for the law.
So did we really, I mean, I can't, I, like I said, I don't remember this at all. Did we really think we were going to try some of that material out in open court in front of the judge?
No,
we
I didn't. Think, I
we
think
were joking.
That, I think that was just to be funny because we were 100% in on insanity.
It's, we figured insanity was going to work.
God. Now, you, now, not necessarily that it would work for real, but it's jaywalking. Mm-hmm. And we thought if we say insanity, the judge will get a little giggle out of it, find it funny.
Really?
Didn't happen.
And I made a reference early in the tape to Hangin' Henry as a judge. Did we have intel that he was a judge without a sense of humor? Okay. All right.
I don't think so.
I have no idea how this ends. Did I end up going to jail?
So now we're sitting in court. And do you remember who was sitting behind us?
I don't. I don't remember anything about this day.
The lead singer from a band called Men at Work.
No.
Colin Hay.
Colin Hay. Do you remember that?
With the honked up eye?
Yes.
Colin Hay.
Yes. So we're sitting in court, and our case isn't up yet, and we're having a discussion about who's sitting behind us.
Been ushered inside the courthouse. Oh, man, it's showtime now. I'm really nervous.
There's
how many people are here? Hundreds?
Oh, yeah.
And you're telling me who's sitting behind us?
I'm telling you that the guy sitting behind us in this traffic court is the lead singer of Men at Work.
Men at Work?
I'm telling you, that's who he is.
I come from a land down under.
That's the same guy. He's the guy, with the weird eye.
It's not him.
It's him. It's the guy from Men at Work.
It's not.
Was it really him?
I think it was.
No
I think
way.
It was because he had the janky eye.
I mean, if I said it was him, I'm sure I would recognize him.
Sure.
So that's funny.
So the judge, this is a weird thing because before our case, the judge for some reason, and I didn't remember this either until I listened to it, the judge was holding up some kind of a stuffed animal and was taking bids on it like it was an auction. And Bean actually bid, I think maybe just to try and make the judge laugh again so that when we got up there, everything would be cool. I don't know. I honestly don't know, but listen.
You say that? Let me see. Yeah,
the judge is holding up a stuffed animal.
He's looking at a stuffed
animal. Didn't they take this as part of the trade-in?
What's he doing, like a comedy show here? What's the deal?
Oh.
I don't know. We're in line, man.
Equipment on a Pontiac.
He's going to be hearing our case in two people.
What is my bid?
An original.
He's taking bids. Bid, man. I'm not going to bid.
Los Angeles Public Library.
$250.
All right, I'll bid.
$250. No. $2.50.
You're bidding.
You're all sick
of think I'll get it?
I'm going to get insurance now. Okay, that's what.
All right, man. Here we go. Good luck.
Yes, sir. All right.
Cherokee.
Looking over your case.
All right, so I don't know why Bean bid $250. I don't think he was actually taking bids.
Oh, man.
But I think we were just trying to make him laugh.
Okay.
So now we're up. He's looking at the paperwork.
Mm-hmm. I'm nervous now.
Bean and I are standing at the table. Who do you want standing at the table less than me when you're really in court?
Mm-hmm. No one.
Right?
Not guilty. Let's go to trial.
Can we plead insanity?
Wait. Who are you?
I'm just with him.
You're just with him?
Yeah. Just a friend.
Who are you?
Oh, no.
You're not a lawyer anymore, are you, Kevin?
No.
All of a sudden, I'm not mouthing off about being a lawyer. Now I'm just a dude. I got nothing to do with this. I don't even know this guy.
Well, I think we'll find out how good a friend.
Oh, okay. Man.
Throw him in jail.
He said, we're going to find out how good a friend. And somebody else said, throw him in jail.
Good. 4 days to jail.
No.
2 days each.
4 days in jail, 2 days each.
Boy, he had no time
right?
for our nonsense.
Come on. It's jaywalking. Somebody says insanity. You're in court every day, all day. You must be bored. Isn't that funny? A little?
That's at least a chuckle.
I mean, come on.
Oh, that's a bad idea. I don't even know him. I'm with this guy.
Now I'm completely distancing myself because I don't want to go to jail at all. That's a bean.
All right, thank you, Eric. We lost.
All right, we're 0-1. I'm not depressed. You're not depressed. I am. It's my $20. We lost, Kevin. I thought you said it was airtight. I thought you said we couldn't lose.
We said,
call me Perry Mason, you said.
I didn't say it was airtight. I said you were going to be airtight.
In the presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit,
all right,
we have come together to witness the marriage of Henry, Charles, Albert, David, and Rachel Meghan.
Wait, what? How? What?
To pray for God's blessing on
them.
Wait,
her first name's
not... To share their joy and to celebrate their love.
Her first name is not Meghan? Did you guys know that her first name was Rachel?
I did.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, mind blown, right?
Totally. I thought I was all caught up with my royal wedding fever.
Royal wedding.
I'll tell you, somebody who's got my back.
I don't get you, man.
Even though you heathens do not enjoy love, I'll tell you somebody who does, and that's my good friend, Nicole Alvarez from the world-famous K-Rock, who joins us on the phone. Hey, Nicole.
Oh, God, I love you, fool.
You don't know what it's been like in here today getting mocked by Kevin and Allie for how much I enjoyed the royal wedding on Saturday.
I saw Kevin's Instagram story or your guys where Kevin's like, I refuse to be in the studio for this. Says the guy who just got back from EDC, the worst festival ever.
How dare you?
Whoa, wow. She's
take it easy. Don't throw shade at where I was when you're watching the effing royal wedding. I win.
Yeah, I was. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, so tell us about it. Is this something that you like had planned, you were looking forward to it as the weeks counted down to the big day? What was your setup like on Saturday?
Oh, yeah. First of all, Prince Harry is the one that got away. He's like one of the great loves of my life. That ginger is just one hot piece of ass.
Hang on one second. Hold on one second. How do you think you would fit into the royal family?
I think quite well, thank you very much.
You think Queen Elizabeth would be down with you and your nonsense, Nicole, right?
I mean, I could clean it up pretty well.
Nope.
I don't know. There's a side of me you don't know.
I don't know, Kevin.
Anyways, my setup was this. I went to bed at midnight, and I set my alarm for 2:20. And I got up at 2:20, and then I was on a text thread with 8 of my friends and FaceTiming with 3 others.
Wow.
Wait. You said 2:30? Yes. What time did the wedding start?
Well, the wedding was at 4, but there was, like, all this coverage on E! News, like, who was arriving because I wanted to see George and Amal and Tom Hardy and the Mumford and Sons were there, and I wanted to see, you know, like, I wanted to see the lead up. And then by, like, 4:15, I'm sitting in my bed sobbing, like, bawling, FaceTiming with my friends because I love.
I don't even know you anymore.
Hey, I have a question about the celebrities were at the wedding. We haven't mentioned this yet, Nicole.
Okay.
The Beckhams were having some sort of massive fight, weren't they?
Well, no, she always looks like that.
But they didn't say a word to each other the entire time they walked in, the entire time they sat together during the royal wedding. Not a word. They barely looked at each other. I'm telling you, something's going on with those kids. And you're right. Her face is frozen.
She always just looks like somebody pooped in her mouth. Like, she's
Hey, this is the morning show.
That's
all
what
right,
I'm saying.
Nicole?
First time
I don't know what flies in the afternoons, Nicole, but.
First time you say something like that in front of the queen and your head comes off.
Oh, yeah, you can clean it up, right? Sure you can. All right, so we're going to be taking calls from our listeners, Nicole. I thought that was the plan.
What?
On what their favorite part of the royal wedding was. Or if there's something we haven't talked about that they want to talk about, some observation that they have about the royal wedding. Because look, over 30 million people in America watched the royal wedding. So I know a bunch
of
our listeners.
That's right, homie.
I just want to put this out there. I can't be trusted to be nice to any of them.
Okay.
So know that when you call.
Can I just tell you my favorite part? Really?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. But let's hear your favorites, Nicole. What did you like the most?
My two favorites was watching Harry get out of the car because he just looked so good. And the other one was their faces when the sermon was going on. It was just fabulous.
Shut up, fool!
It was just great. But anyways, thank you guys for waking me up to talk about this nonsense.
Do you agree, as I was saying earlier, Nicole, that there was way too much God in the ceremony?
I don't think this was the place to make the point that they were trying to make. I think it should have been filmed back maybe just a little bit.
Why wouldn't the Queen smile at anybody? It's her grandson who's getting married. She didn't acknowledge a single person in her own family during the entire ceremony.
Are we sure she's still alive?
I didn't know we are not, actually. She may be frozen and wandering around, but I don't think she's supposed to. I think that's like their law.
No, it's not a law that you can't smile. She's allowed to be happy.
No, maybe she ate whatever Victoria Beckham ate for breakfast.
She's a bitch.
Prince Philip is going to be 97 next month, by the way. He looked fantastic, didn't he?
Skeletor? Yeah, he looked great.
He has to be praying for sweet death, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, Nicole, I'm going to put you down as being in love with love.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Never talk to me again.
Go back to sleep. I love you too. Bye.
Bye.
Wait, are we really taking people's calls?
We are. 1-800-520-1067 ahead of the Black Keys. Let's get Dan on the line. Dan, welcome to the show, man. What say you?
Hey, I hate to say this, but I'm on Kevin's side.
Yes!
And yes. And the thing is, you have to stand. I teach AP U.S. history. I teach AP government. We fought a war to break away from these people. I mean, why are we so obsessed about them? Did anyone care when the heir to the Emperor of Japan got married? This is a show about a family that up until recently was just mainly inbred. What is the fascination? What's the news focus? You know, Flint still has no drinking water. Hawaii's burning. But no, talk about her train.
First of all, Megan is so hot. You're forgetting about that.
I'm in love with Dan.
Second of all, did you ever think that this is us infiltrating the British monarchy and then we're going to take them down? Did you ever think about that? This is our way of getting into taking over their country.
Or is it a step for them to have a child born in America to take over our country?
Oh, could go either way.
See, now it's very confusing.
This is nonsense.
Dan. Thank you for the call. George, you hang on. Nancy as well. Everybody else, we want to hear from you. Thoughts on the royal wedding. Let's make Kevin squirm a little bit. 1-800-520-1067. Talk to you next on K-Rock.
On the 6.7 K-Rock, Scary Q, it's Kevin Mean Show.
Royal wedding.
Taking your calls. Come on, this is fun, right? Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Thoughts on the big day on Saturday. Hey, let's talk to George. Nancy, hold on. I promise we'll get to you next. George is on line one. He's in Downey. George, you saw the show on Saturday. What'd you think?
Pretty good. Pretty entertaining. I mean, first of all, I'd like to say I only viewed it as for entertainment. Just like everybody views the Kardashians, they view sports. It's just another form of entertainment. But I felt like when Prince Harry and Prince William arrived at Windsor Castle together, I thought that was pretty honorable. I mean, they looked pretty cool, you know, with their uniforms. I thought they looked good, you know.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean it was pretty honorable? Just that they're both military vets, mean?
If you look at it, like, you know, he did a tour in Iraq. You know, he was with our troops. So that's literally, like, up to the point I watched, and then I turned it off.
So wait. So yeah. Did you stay?
You just saw him walking in.
Did you stay up or did you get up for this?
Oh no, I just got up. It was
you got up.
I guess my mom TiVo'd it, and then I was just like, "Oh, that looks pretty cool." And then I was like, "All right, I'm not."
So you watched it until they arrived, and then you were out.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm not going to stay for that,
right? Because nonsense.
So you tuned in to watch a wedding and left before the wedding.
That's how I roll, man.
You did the right thing, George.
All right. Thank you, George. 1-800-520-1067. Nancy is up next. She's in Ontario, line four on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, what's up, guys?
You
tell me.
Royal wedding. How was it?
It was great. It was great. I have been planning to watch the royal wedding, I want to say, like, a year in advance. As soon as they had to get married.
You're the person we want to talk to then.
Yes, I was so excited. I watched Kate Middleton's wedding, and then I was this one, and I was crying, I was sad, I was happy, I was elated, I was shaking. It was the best thing.
All right, so Nancy, let me ask a question on behalf of our first caller this morning, Dan, who was trying to figure out why anyone in America would be so obsessed with another country's royal family. How do you explain it?
You know what? I think it's that whole fairy tale type of thing. You know, I love weddings, and it's that fairy tale thing where it's like, oh, and then the whole like ceremony and the whole like pomps and the hats and the all of that. It's just like, oh.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember Princess Diana?
Oh yes. Too bad I wasn't. I was like 3 years old.
I know.
But best believe, I probably would have watched it too.
But one of the, I guess, greatest weddings of all time. Like, I don't know how to rank them. But did you see how that ended up? I mean, the royal family is, they're a bunch of dicks.
They did yeah, drop her like a hot potato.
They really did.
Yeah. But look. What? I think when they actually got married, I think it was a good thing. She looked like she was in love, and
yeah, she was.
Kevin, find
any family, including mine, probably including yours, that doesn't have a divorce in it somewhere.
That's not what I'm saying. The way they treated her, the way they threw her out on the street, the way he was cheating on behind her back. Come on, that was.
You know what? Like you said, that happens in a lot of families. It happened in my family, you know. And at the beginning, you don't think of that. You just want. You're in love and you want to share, you know, your life with this person. And the way they do it, it's just like, wow. Like, it makes you think like, oh, things do happen.
You said you laughed, you cried, and you shook. You at one point said you shook.
Yes.
At what point in that wedding were you shaking?
The history of fire.
And like, when they walked out and the crowd was all happy and then they kissed on the stairs and it's like, oh, my God, it's perfect. You know.
And let me ask you this because we're almost out of time here, Nancy. Was this one extra special for you because Megan was just a regular kid who was just born and raised in Los Angeles and went to Immaculate Heart and really could have been you or could have been any other girl?
Yeah, exactly. It could have been me. It could have been any other girl. I mean, it made it extra special because she wasn't royal. She, you know, was a divorcee. She's, you know, African-American or half-African-American or whatever.
Right.
So it makes it more personal. I mean, I'm Mexican. I can marry a prince.
Nope.
Yeah. All right. Last question for you, Nancy. Last question for you. Did you think it was weird, as I did, and Allie, I want your opinion on this too, that Harry had two of his long-term ex-girlfriends at the ceremony?
Yes. Yes.
Who does that? Who invites your exes to the ceremony?
Well, supposedly he's really close to them and all this other stuff. And that makes it more comfortable for Megan, too, I think. Whereas, okay, I can have these girls here, and it's not going to be
weird. Oh, like Megan had any choices at all about anything in this wedding.
I will say, when I heard that, I believe her name is Chelsea. She was the blonde.
Yes.
The only reason they broke up, like, Harry was in love with this woman, wanted to marry her. And the only reason she broke up was she said point blank, I don't want to be a royal. I will never want to be a royal.
Was her name Lord?
No. No. But I'm just saying, like, that's the only reason they're not together. So the fact that they've kept this relationship for my... If I was Megan, I'd be a little suspect of old Blondie over there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if they're going to be friends, I'm sure she's still going to be in his life and she's going to still be around. And Megan, obviously...
You're so cute, Nancy.
That's what I'm saying. Why they got to be friends?
Nancy, we appreciate your call, and I hope one day you find your prince.
Yes, woohoo! And I'm going to be on the wedding, and I'll be on TV too if you guys can watch.
Okay, great. Yours I'll watch. Thank you, Nancy, for the call. We appreciate it. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
So Friday night, Kevin, you're going to be sitting at the Galaxy game with bunch of K-Rock listeners watching San Jose, right?
Yes, sir.
We're going to give you a chance to win some tickets to join Kevin. Great way to kick off your Memorial Day weekend with a new game that we're calling Know Your Kevin, coming up in about 15 minutes or so here in Carolina.
I don't feel good about this.
Know Your Kevin. I think it's going to be a lot of fun for all of us. First, though, here on a Monday morning, 7:51. Allie, what's happening?
Bean, when you were out, we did a variation of Does Kevin Know? But it was Does Kevin Know His Coworkers?
Mm-hmm.
And dare I say... Kevin passed with flying colors.
Nailed it.
What?
Nailed it. He knew about all of us.
Only 100%.
Yeah. It was impressive.
Seemed like a guy who would be paying attention to the other people that are in the room.
Absolutely.
I don't pay attention to stuff I don't care about. People that I know I care about.
Right.
Wow.
Except for Chip.
Dean, that's not true. You got her two tattoos correct. It was Foo Fighters and then The Offspring.
Right.
But Bean, if I asked you, what college did I go to?
BC.
Oh, okay. See? All right.
Look, you won't shut up about BC,
right?
All right. Very well. In case you guys missed it, this is... it's the greatest quote of all time. Like, this is going to be
a
yearbook quote for some people. But it's from the co-writer of Earth, Wind, and Fire's huge hit, September. This woman... Oh, wow. Allie Willis. She had quite the response to Taylor Swift's rendition.
So she, I'm just guessing, she loved it too?
She didn't so much love it as, here's what she said. This is her exact quote. I didn't really think she did a horrible job. Yes, I felt it was as lethargic as a drunk turtle dozing under a sunflower after ingesting a bottle of Valium. And I thought it had all the build of a one-story motel. But, I mean, the girl didn't kill anybody. She didn't run over your foot. She just cut a very calm and somewhat boring take of one of the peppiest, happiest, most popular songs in history.
That's funny.
Oh,
I love that.
God. When you have to say as an upside, she didn't kill anyone
right.
or run over your foot.
Those are the only two upsides.
Yes, I feel like it's safe to say she didn't love it as much.
That's awesome.
But that is a hilarious quote.
It's an unbelievable quote. I did not know, though, that the other writers of the song, the late Maurice White and Al McKay. What's up, Earth, Wind, and Fire's Al McKay?
Maybe you're owed some money.
Right? I don't think. Okay. And not sure if you saw this, Bean, but Taylor Swift may be releasing a new album in 2019.
Is this the Perez Hilton
yeah.
news that he broke out at the Rose Bowl? Yeah, I'm very excited by this.
Apparently, this is what she told Perez backstage after her concert Saturday at the Rose Bowl. She said she plans to have another album out before she turns 30. She's going to be 29 in December, so if you do the math, oh my God. I mean, that's a lot.
It's too much, some would say.
She had a lot to get off of her chest with this Reputation album.
Right.
And she said the other day, I'm really glad to have gotten this through this cathartic period, and now I can go back to writing regular songs again.
Do you think she just wanted to get out, like, all of this angst and bitterness and how she was so angry? And
I think that's exactly what it is.
That's it.
Even she hated that album.
I don't know that she hated it. I mean, it was the best-selling album of 2017. I think people liked it. But she has moved through that phase and is going to do something different next, which I'm very excited about. I hope it's all covers of Earth,
right?
Wind, and Fire songs.
With banjos.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Perfect situation.
No. Bean, you're going tomorrow night?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So we'll hear on Wednesday how it went, unless you need the day off from all that partying.
I may.
If that keeps us from talking about it, all good.
Okay. Go ahead and take the day off. Not sure if you guys saw this, but Beyonce now has her very own church. She's the new owner of a stone-structured 7,500-square-foot House of God in the Big Easy. It's a church in New Orleans that TMZ posted the pictures. It is gorgeous. It is just stunning when you look at, obviously, the outside of it. It's more than 100 years old and was listed at $850,000. And apparently it was a church that was built in the early 1900s, but put out of commission as a place of worship for some time because all of its members had passed away.
Oh.
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard. Like, there were no new members at this church.
Imagine right at the end, the pastor is up in front going...
One person. Like, dude.
Dude, did you read this? Okay, let's not even do it.
Let's get some lunch.
I'm nervous about saying too much about this because I don't really want to give away where I live.
Okay.
But Beyonce has a house about 3.5 blocks from mine, okay?
Okay.
All right.
This church...
Like, west or east of you?
This church is much closer to my house than Beyonce's house is.
Okay.
In other words, I pass this church every single time I walk my dog.
Oh, you mean she already has a house there other than this church? Oh, okay.
Yes. Her house is 3.5 blocks away. This church is much closer to my house. So Linus has pooped on Beyonce's lawn like 100 times.
Okay.
Like, that's the route we take. And this church is weird because in 2 years, I've never seen anyone go in or out of it.
Dead, so
I asked,
dead.
I asked one of the neighbors, and he said, yeah, because I said there's no sign of any kind of service times or anything like that because I wanted to see inside of it, right? Because it's a beautiful old church, as Allie mentioned. And he's like, yeah, they don't really have regular services here. But he made it sound like he thought it was still up and running. But now this TMZ article says it's essentially just been vacant, I guess. Just empty. What do you think she's going to do with it?
Oh, I hope she makes it a house.
Yeah, I would think so.
But I mean, she has a house around the corner, like 2 minutes from there.
I'm sure she only has one house, too.
Well, she has a lot of houses. That's true.
My thought is she's trying desperately to get closer and closer to being.
Do you think that's it?
Yep.
I mean, I was wondering, tell me if this is a stupid idea, because I've heard about a lot of music that has been recorded in churches over the years. Is it possible that that's the type of thing she could go, oh, my God, the acoustics in here or something
like that? Oh, no, that's probably.
Absolutely.
Build it as a recording studio or something?
Probably a good idea, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just crazy. I'm going to believe me, I'm going to be keeping my eyes open, you guys, for Beyonce in the neighborhood.
And let's not completely write off that she starts her own religion. Right? Church of Bay?
A lot of people sign up for that, too.
Yeah,
amen. By the way, they had a Beyonce Mass a few weeks ago up at a San Francisco church. Over 900 people showed up to that.
Really?
A Beyonce Mass. I love it. I don't know. It's such a gorgeous, gorgeous place. I would think a recording studio would be incredible
there. Yeah, I think so, too.
Bean, well, get on that.
I'll keep my eyes peeled, you guys. I'll let you know.
What's he supposed to do?
I don't know. Just help her?
I'll call into TMZ if I ever see anything.
Okay, right. Good stuff. Some birthdays for you. Singer Gautier, an actor, all-around amazing human being, Mr. T.
Shut up, fool!
I'm just saying happy birthday to you. Remember when we had him in?
Yeah, he's so great.
Oh, the best!
Yeah.
You guys, I hugged Mr. T.
T-2020.
Oh, for sure. And that's what's happening.
Less than 1 hour away to a 4-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets celebrating friendship and beyond during the first ever Pixar Fest going on right now at Disneyland. We got them for you multiple times throughout the day here on K-Rock, including 9 a.m. Less than an hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Bean is a huge reader. He reads a lot of books. And he speed reads, too. He'll go, yeah, I got this 900-page book. I'm gonna do it on the flight.
Insane.
On the other hand, if maybe finished 3 books and started a bunch, but then they just don't. I can't stick with it. I don't have the
3 books in your lifetime.
In my lifetime, yeah.
Stop it.
That surprises me only because there are subjects about which you are passionate. Like if there were a history of your favorite soccer team, I would think that would be a book that you would love to read every word of.
And it surprises me because you were an English major.
I mean, that's true, but Spark Notes, or whatever they call them now.
Come on. Really?
I don't know. Here's the thing. I feel like I get where the book is going, and I'm done. I did sort of, okay, I guess, see the
right,
setup.
But other stuff happens after where it's
does
going,
it,
though.
But does it?
Yes, it all does.
Right. One of them was Harry Potter. That might be funny for you to know, because that was a long book, the original Harry Potter.
Right.
Did you only read the first one?
No. Yeah.
You read the first book?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Of course, yeah.
You never read the other books?
No. Then movies.
Well, the one thing you can guarantee is if they made a movie of it, there's no reason to ever read the book.
Correct.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Now, Jimmy Kimmel was talking about this the other night, and his statistic will blow you away. This is Jimmy.
According to a recent study from the Pew Research Center, almost 1 in 4 Americans has not read a book in the past year. That actually seemed high to me.
Almost 1 in 4 in Americans hasn't read a book in the last year.
I don't find that difficult to believe because I think there are a lot of people who spend a lot of time reading, but it's on social media. I think if people have time to sit down on their couch and read something, they'd rather read their Instagram than read a book. Don't you think?
I don't think of Instagram as reading, but...
Well, I mean, it's something that you're doing with your eyes when you're not reading. I mean, you're not reading a book during that time where you could be reading a book because you're more interested in your social media, your Facebook feed, your Twitter, whatever,
I think.
All
right, so Jimmy takes it a step further.
I bet it's even fewer than that. So to find out, this afternoon we sent a team out to the street to ask pedestrians to name a book. Any book. Could be the Bible, could be 50 Shades of Grey. All we wanted to know is, can you name a book? And here's how that went.
So they go out with a microphone.
That's
and
a pretty low bar.
Right?
And
they stop people on the street and they ask them point blank just the question, can you name a book?
Oh, my no.
God.
One book.
No, I don't like this.
And like Jimmy said, the Bible is a book.
Right.
Like, it seems like you would be able to do that. Now, I don't know if this is nerves because there's a camera on them, but a book.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that hard.
A book.
Just a book.
Tell me if you want to stop at any point.
Can you name a book?
Oh, yes. I don't read books. But, what's it called?
Can you name a book?
No.
Can you name a book?
At least she found the humor in it.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
This is, I mean, like you said, Harry Potter, one of the publishing sensations of the last 25 years. I would think that a lot of people would come up with that.
Even
just
if
it's so popular.
But a lot of these people are saying, I don't read. That doesn't matter. Have you heard of a book?
Have you heard of a book? You've heard of 1984. You've heard of To Kill a Mockingbird. You've heard of something, right?
I wouldn't have gotten those, but I'm saying, you know, Harry Potter. Let's continue.
I don't read books. Yeah, that's it.
A book? The Lion King.
The movie?
Yeah, the book.
You read the book The Lion King?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking. Dang, hold on, man. I haven't even read it. Hold on, let me think. Hold on. Can we cut this and do it again?
Isn't this crazy?
It's stunning.
Dear.
It's amazing. Look, I'm going to give some of these people the benefit of the doubt, like you say, Kevin, that they're scrambling to come up with an answer. They're nervous. They're on TV. And they just their minds just go blank. They walk away. Hopefully, 1 minute later, they think of a book.
Probably not. Let's continue.
Can you name a book?
A book. Any book? The Jungle Book. It's not a book, is it? It's a movie. Jungle Book, sure.
Is it?
Both.
Be sure?
No.
Jungle Book is a book, by the way.
At least he thought of a word with a title with book in the name
true.
Of it.
And that's the only reason he came up with it.
Right?
That's amazing.
Do magazines count? Oh, dear. Oh, God.
Do magazines count? As naming a book.
Do magazines count?
No, those wouldn't be books.
That's correct.
I can name Moby Dick.
All right, here's my favorite guy.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
This is my favorite guy. So we're all excited because he can name Moby Dick.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a book.
Right? That's a famous book. Good for him. He can name it. Very excited.
I can name Moby Dick. That's an artist. He wrote a book called Horse.
Wait.
Okay, Moby Dick was not an author.
Wrong. He wrote a book called
Horse. You know, the famous Horse by Moby Dick.
Is this guy just mad libbing? He wrote a book called Horse.
I can name Moby Dick. That's an artist. He wrote a book called Horse.
Is there an artist named Moby Dick, maybe, that wrote...
No, really? There's just the Herman Melville book, Moby Dick.
No. There's the author that wrote the book, the very popular book, Horse.
Where did he come up with Horse?
I'm guessing he saw one down the street or something. It's just like, I can't think of anything.
I mean, at least it would make sense if the book was called Whale, you know?
Moby Dick wrote Horse. Do not argue with this guy.
Okay.
All right.
I like that book.
Moby Dick was the author.
Yes.
And the book was Horse.
Yes. That's what I say, huh?
All right. Don't get lippy.
Wow.
You're way wrong. Don't get so lippy.
What was the last book you read?
Probably Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss, maybe?
I haven't read a book for like 12 years.
I'm drawing a blank. Jeez. I need books. Sorry. I am totally blanking out on books.
All right. Now, what do you think this woman does for a living?
Oh, I hope she's a librarian. There's no way.
I need books. Sorry. I am totally blanking out on books.
What do you do for a living?
I was a librarian.
No.
Yes.
That's not even possible.
Yes.
And this is also possible.
I can name Moby Dick. That's an artist. He wrote a book called Horse.
That's a thing.
I love it. I love it. All right. Hold on. We got to check with Christine because there's some sort of hiccup apparently in our LA Galaxy giveaway for Friday night. Christine, is it okay to give these tickets away?
I think so. I don't know the details of what we're giving away, but I do know that there are tickets. Besides that, I don't know yet.
Okay. Well, look. You're going to the
game. Let's give them away, and then we'll figure it out.
You're going to the game, sitting in Kevin's section on Friday for the Galaxy versus the Earthquake.
And by the way, let me just say this. We're sitting right next to the LA Riot Squad, and those are the crazy, crazy fans.
They're the partiers.
Yeah, they're the partiers. Yeah. So it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, as all Galaxy games are. And you get to party with Kevin, too. So you can go to galaxy.com/KROCK to buy your tickets, or you can win them right now with our new game called Know Your Kevin. We're going to be asking you fun facts about our own Kevin. If you come up with the answer, you might win some tickets to join him Friday night at the Galaxy. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game next on KROCK. When are they going to put you in the booth to call one of those Galaxy games, Kevin, since you're there all the time anyway? Would that be fun?
I mean, it would be fun for me.
Oh, we got to do that.
Well, I mean, they actually have an announcer, Bean.
I know, but Kevin doing play-by-play at a Galaxy game would be awesome. L.A. versus San Jose this Friday night. What a great way to get into the Memorial Day weekend at StubHub Center. Here's what we have for you. A pair of tickets to sit in Kevin's section, 2 beers per ticket, and access to a post-game autograph session. If you don't win, you can get those tickets in the KROCK section. They're only $32.50 at lagalaxy.com/KROCK. Let's play Know Your Kevins.
Do you know your Kevin? He was sent to us from heaven.
That's stupid.
He's a little slow, but how well do you really know
Kevin?
Do you know your Kevin? IQ of almost 11.
What?
Do you know your Kevin?
Kev dog.
All right.
Do you know your Kevin?
He's so horny.
Wow.
Oh, asshole.
Do you know your Kevin?
That song is over, and now we will speak.
Do you know your Kevin?
Want a banana, you hot little monkey bitch?
It's also, what was I just going to say?
Know your Kevin.
Oh, I don't understand what that means.
Come on.
That's magnificent.
Oh, yeah, you hate it when he does it to you.
It's magnificent.
Top 10.
All right, anyone who, if you've listened to this program for any length of time, you've fallen in love with our man Kevin, and we're just going to be asking trivia questions about him. If you know your Kevin, you go into the drawing. Somebody wins the package to join him Friday night at the Galaxy game. Who's up first, please?
Joey in Norwalk. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right, Joey, on which holiday did Kevin come out of a live Kevin and Bean Breakfast Show remote, get in the wrong car, and drive away?
St. Patrick's Day?
It sure was.
Do you know your Kevin?
Ooh, he's so horny.
You are in the drawing.
I have to keep playing that?
Yep. Good morning.
Lisa, hi. She said good morning before I even said her name.
Lisa, do you think you know your Kevin?
I think so.
All right.
All right, here we go. Even though Britain's Prince Harry has now been named the Duke of Sussex, he is far behind our man Kevin, who appointed himself a duke many years ago when he started having his UPS packages addressed to him as the Duke of what?
Duke of Wales.
I'm sorry, no. He is the Duke of Tarzana. He calls himself the Duke of Tarzana, but thank you for playing anyway.
Used to make me laugh because they had to put on whatever it was. All right, let's go to Eric in L.A. Hi there.
Good morning.
Yeah, Eric. According to Kevin, what is the one thing that quitters never do?
Quit.
No, I'm sorry. Quitters never give up. Quitters never give up is what they never do, but thank you very much. That should be, they should carve that into a monument somewhere.
I'm not sure.
We already have it on a T-shirt, but I think it deserves even more
than
that.
That should be next to Moby Dick from the book Cold Horse.
Right, exactly.
All right, Raphael in Whittier. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Raphael, how long have you been listening to the show?
Since I'm high school, so maybe like going on like 10 years.
All right.
Okay. All right. Here's one for you. Which multi-platinum band did Kevin cause a death scare for at the Grammys one year by shining a laser pointer at the lead singer's face?
Ah, oh, shoot. I'm not going to know. Let's go with...
That was a long time ago.
U2.
I'm sorry. No, it was, believe it or not, it was Hootie and the Blowfish. He shined a laser pointer on Hootie's face. And then had to apologize to him on the phone. Didn't
I'll you, never forget. I was in the boss's office, and he's like, listen, this is serious. Now he's going to get on the phone, and you have to apologize. And I'm like, I'm sorry for scaring you.
All right. Only Joey is in the drawing so far. Let's try to get a couple more people qualified.
Miguel in Norwalk. Hi.
Morning.
All right, Miguel. Kevin was, by the way, we're playing Know Your Kevin right now.
Do you know your Kevin?
Boom, he's so horny.
Kevin was stunned one morning to find out that kale was a vegetable. He always thought it was what?
Seaweed.
No, I'm sorry. That would have been closer. It was fish. He thought it was a fish.
I mean, he didn't know, to be honest. He was
Believe
just taking a guess, that guy.
All right, let's do one more, shall we?
All right, let's do Eddie in Long Beach.
Hey, how we doing?
Good, thank you.
Eddie, what did Kevin once announce he was going to do on the air that caused the Culver City Fire Department to immediately come down to K-Rock to try to stop him?
Play with fireworks.
Yes, that's right.
That's correct.
Light on fireworks. No, yo, Kevin.
Ooh, he's so horny.
All right. Hey, since we've got Joey and Eddie, let's say we give them both tickets.
All right.
Let's do it.
How about that? Galaxy versus San Jose Earthquakes this Friday night at StubHub Center. You can buy your tickets. They're on sale now in Kevin's section at lagalaxy.com/K-Rock. Thanks for playing Know Your Kevin.
Know Your Kevin.
Oh, I don't understand what that means. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9.
A four-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets are going to be yours in about 5 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. And then, right after the top of the hour, what music superstar did Kevin party with over the weekend in Las Vegas? I mean, they are best friends for life as a result of what went down.
Are we?
I can't exaggerate how huge a star this is that Kevin and Dave, the King of Mexico, party with in Las Vegas over the weekend. You don't want to miss this story. It's all coming up. First, though, Allie, what's happening this Monday?
Well, what's happening is a bunch of people saw Deadpool 2 over the weekend. $125 million in its debut, of course, making it number one at the box office, followed by Avengers Infinity War, which picked up another $28.7 million. Coming in third, the debut of Book Club, followed by Life of the Party, Breaking In, Show Dogs, Overboard, A Quiet Place, Rampage, and he can't wait to see it, Bean's movie, RBG.
RBG? Here's the thing about that, though.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to see it.
He's not going to see it. He's been talking about it for 2 weeks
about it a
now.
Lot, but
the minute it is available on demand, I will be watching it.
But don't you want to see Ruth Bader Ginsburg up there on the big screen where you can fully appreciate her?
I mean, that would be best, obviously, right. But that would involve me leaving my house.
Okay. All right.
But for her.
Yeah, if I was going to do it for anybody, it would be for RBG. That's true.
I sort of have a boner.
Right?
Do you? For RBG.
She's a pretty remarkable 85-year-old.
She is. She's an amazing woman. Absolutely. Well, Netflix has picked up a movie called First Ladies. It's with Jennifer Aniston and Tig Notaro. Variety reports that the political comedy is about America's first female president, played by Jennifer Aniston, and her wife, the First Lady, played by Tig Notaro. When the couple moves into the White House, they're looking to prove that behind every great woman is another great woman. It's an interesting pairing, right?
Sure.
A marriage is between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
All right, sir. Maybe the movie is not for you. I'm not sure.
Not for everyone.
And it looks like Bradley Cooper could be getting a nice role in Clint Eastwood's next movie. It's called The Mule. And the film is the true story of 90-year-old Leo Sharp, who was in his 80s, broke, alone, facing foreclosure on his business when he got a new job driving. But the World War II vet had no idea at the time he'd be ferrying drugs as a courier for the Mexican cartel.
Oh.
That's a real story. Poor Leo.
And this has been great news.
He just just thought he got a new job, and he was just
all excited,
fun little driver. And then he's currying drugs for a Mexican cartel.
Wow,
that's fascinating, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Kind of into it. No word on.
What are your bosses like? Oh, they kill people regularly.
Right? Yes. At what point did he find that out? And oh, this is nuts. I'm going to look more into this story.
Yeah, it looks great.
Leo Sharp. I'm into
bastard.
It. Did you just say bastard?
Poor bastard.
Oh, leave Leo alone.
Oh, no.
If you missed last night's 2018 Billboard Music Awards, you are not alone because the ratings are not great. Not great. They haven't gotten the West Coast ratings yet, which should bump it up. But as of now, not wonderful. However, you did miss the highlight of the show, Janet Jackson. She picked up Billboard's Icon Award and gave her first TV performance in 9 years with the mashup of her hits. I watched it. It was wonderful seeing her.
Does she still have it?
She does. She's great. She's amazing.
She has been, for as big a star as she was and as long as she was a big star, she has been virtually invisible this past decade.
Yeah, well,
didn't she marry a guy in Saudi Arabia or something like that, and she's been living out of America?
She did. They are now divorced. She's back here. She had a kid. She's busy. She's a busy woman. Absolutely. But a few of the winners, top artist Ed Sheeran, top new artist Khaled, top male artist Ed Sheeran, top female artist Taylor Swift. Imagine Dragons won all these awards, top duo or group, top rock artist, top rock album, and top rock song with Believer.
Wow.
So, way to go.
Good for
Imagine
them.
Dragons. Good stuff right there. And the LA premiere of season 2 of 13 Reasons Why was canceled. It was supposed to be on Friday, but it was canceled in the wake of the most recent school shooting in Santa Fe, Texas on Friday. And one of the storylines in the second season of the Netflix show reportedly involves a thwarted school shooting. So they just felt like, we don't really want to be celebrating tonight with these kids. And
seemed like a good decision.
Yeah, they put that off. Some birthdays for you. Singer Gautier. Remember when that's all K-Rock would play? Like every other song. A lot of Gautier.
A lot of
right
times.
There. And actor Mr. T. And that's what's happening.
Well, the 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Look.
At 9:06.
Look. Your life is a cartoon, all right?
That's correct.
Like, I don't... Like, how... All right. Let me ask you this question. How were you and Dave in the desert hanging out with Kenny G this weekend? Sounds like a bad...
It's the weirdest sentence ever.
It is. I mean, seriously.
How great is that picture?
And amazing.
Did you beat him over the head with his little piccolo or whatever it is he plays?
It's a piccolo, yeah.
Are you kidding?
I know, it's an alto sax. I'm
soprano
kidding.
So,
oh, is it soprano?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Because it's high.
I thought it was alto. So how, but why? Why was Kenny G even there?
Well, that was my first question. I saw him, I was like, is that Kenny G? What?
I mean, my guess would have been he brought his kids.
No.
Okay.
Came out on stage.
Oh.
With one of the acts that I didn't see. I wasn't there when it happened. But everybody's like, did you guys see Kenny G come out? That was weird.
And he came out and played or just...
Yes.
Just
danced?
Just crowd surfed.
Yodeled.
No, he played, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So on somebody's song, he came out and played.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
So then I saw him and I was like, oh, we need to take a picture. That would be so great. Dave, come on, come on, come on, come on. We ran over there. We took a picture with him.
Was everybody swarming Kenny G? Because I'm sure everybody who saw him had the same thought.
I mean, not technically.
Really?
I mean...
Was he walking around fairly unencumbered by fans?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a surprise.
I mean, except for Dave and me. I didn't see anyone else.
Although no one else knew who he was.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. What do you think the average age is for the EDC visitor?
Average? I don't know. 23?
Yeah, they don't have
24.
Yeah. No idea
like
who
that.
Kenny G is.
Yeah.
None.
So that one's going in the scrapbook, right?
I mean, right.
I think my favorite part of that picture, not just that he's at EDC, you have glitter on your face.
I do. I had it on both sides.
Picture with Kenny G.
They had this paste stuff they were putting on. I was like, do my whole face. Let's go.
And what was that about?
Everybody has glitter, Bean. Come on.
Oh, I see. So
catch
you
up with the times.
You would stand out when you didn't have glitter.
When in Rome. You
You'd
know.
Stand out like Kenny G. That's how they knew it was him. Glitter on his face. No. Is that Kenny G? No, he has glitter. See? Brilliant.
Did you tell him who you were?
No.
You were just a random fan asking for a Kenny G selfie.
Why would he care?
I don't know. I'm just trying to picture the scene. Just trying to see how it all went down. That's all.
And I don't know if you can tell in the picture, but he's not thrilled.
He doesn't look as happy as he could, but I had to respect Dave's caption.
What was it?
Just a few G's hanging out in the desert. I was like, yeah. All right, Dave, you win. Super sexy.
I have heard that he is a super nice guy. Like, really, really genuinely fun guy. You know, people want to put him in a box like they do Michael Bolton and some other people just because
they
of the style
him
of music.
In a box?
No. I mean, they just want to think they can't be cool because of the kind of music they make. But I've heard he's actually a real fun guy.
I didn't get that vibe in those 4 seconds.
No, I understand. Well, we were all. Am I speaking for you, Allie? When I would say we were a little bit jealous.
Totally jealous.
A little bit of a Kenny G selfie? Are you kidding me?
Huge.
But just for the comedy.
Well, sure.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. But
listen, that's not a given with you two. Wait, hold on. You for the comedy?
Me for the comedy.
Bean?
Yeah, for the comedy.
Okay. Oh, not for the comedy.
Not for the comedy, not for Bean.
For the comedy. By the way, he has sold over 75 million albums, Kenny G has.
Yeah. I don't have anything to say to that.
No, I just thought for folks who may still not know who he is, he's that guy, and he was very popular at one time.
I'll repost a picture if you want to see that. It's at the Kevin, that Kevin Ryder.
All right, thing two.
All right, yeah, let's do thing two.
And this keeps it in Las Vegas, which is why I thought it would be appropriate to put these two together.
All right.
The mother effing Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is one of the great, for folks who don't even care about hockey, please listen to me when I tell you it's one of the most remarkable stories in the history of sports and has the potential to even be more remarkable if they end up winning the Stanley Cup in their first season. There are teams like Toronto who haven't even been to the Stanley Cup in like 50 years or something, right?
Yeah.
Or won one at least in 50 years. And here's a team like Las Vegas made out of spare parts.
Not really, no. Here's the thing.
Well, they were all cast-offs from other teams.
Not really, no. Each team had to unblock a certain number of players.
Right.
Like, they got Braden McNabb from us, and he was a great defenseman.
They got some good players.
Yes.
There's no question
about
that.
So they could cherry-pick all of these players from all different teams, and it's not an all-star team, but it's not just scraps either. I mean, they really got some good players.
It's not scraps, but people are making it out to seem like they got the best players from each team.
That's not true either, right?
No.
Somebody did some great coaching to be able to put those players who had never played together before and turn them into this team.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Right?
Agreed. That's amazing. Yes. I mean, with what we said, it's amazing.
Chip, you have a hockey podcast, so I guess you get to say something.
Yes. Totally Offsides. Go check it out on iTunes and krock.com.
But that's it. Like, that's all she has.
That's all I have to say. But yeah, it's one thing to have. Like, it's they're relentless with their, they can roll four lines and keep coming at you. And that's one thing. And then another thing, like, you knew with these players coming together, but you didn't know how the chemistry would be and stuff like that. So that part is remarkable.
And what's that? Marc-Andre Fleury, by the way.
Marc-Andre Fleury is playing out of his mind.
Unbelievable.
So are we rooting for them then?
Absolutely not.
Over Washington or Tampa?
100% not.
Really?
I've turned. I'm going Knights.
Are you? No.
Yeah.
Allie?
Absolutely Knights.
Because it's awesome for hockey.
Absolutely. Yeah. And anyone that says, I could never, you don't like hockey. Period. If you can't root for another team to win, not saying you, Kevin, because you're going to root for the Capitals, but people that are like, I don't even care anymore, it's the worst, then you don't like the sport. You just like rooting for your own team and being an a-hole.
This is the problem with them winning the Cup. And by the way, I agree. It would be a great story. The problem is fans. Some fans suck.
But these fans, hold on a second, Kevin. These fans are at the end of a 7-month drought without going to the Stanley Cup final.
Right?
I mean, they've been working their whole lives towards
their
this.
Their whole lives. What about all the parents and grandparents who have passed before they have a chance to see it?
Oh, it's so sad,
win,
Kevin.
Win
Think
one
of them.
For them. For the family.
Look, we already know that we have a-hole fans in different places.
Right.
You know.
L.A.
San Jose. Vancouver.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some horrible fans.
Yeah.
Now we have a team that might win it in the first year.
Yeah.
And now it's a whole other group of a-hole fans. Look, going to the finals is an amazing story. Let's just let it in there.
Okay.
By the way, I was on a plane. I just want to tell this quickly. I was on a plane on Southwest on the way over to Vegas on Friday. And a guy wanted to sit on the window when I was on the window. And usually I'm like, I don't care. Okay, go ahead. And I looked up and he was wearing a Golden Knights hat. And I was like, nope. You know, I like the window.
God. Catherine Morrison, you guys, from Banning. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. She just got a four-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets to celebrate Friendship and Beyond during the first ever Pixar Fest. This is cool, by the way. We're talking about a big parade with characters from Toy Story and Finding Nemo and Pixar-themed fireworks and all the rest going on all summer long at Disneyland. You can win yours at noon today and then again at 3 and 6 p.m. all week long here on the world-famous K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Right? Give me a flashback to you and your new best friend, Kevin.
Define best friend.
That is one of the weirdest stories I've ever heard.
I mean, it was weird.
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Like I said, your life is a cartoon, my friend.
It is. That's
all right. It's 9:39. Allie is here with our final look at what's happening on a Monday.
Well, Jake Gyllenhaal is ready to bring a little mystery to the Spider-Man universe. He's in talks right now to play the classic Marvel villain Mysterio in the sequel to Spider-Man Homecoming. Does that excite us or what?
I mean, people really liked that last Spider-Man movie, right?
I mean, if you think $880 million worldwide is pretty good.
I'd say that's pretty good.
I think it's pretty good. So if you're looking forward to him playing a villain, that could just be the role of a lifetime for him. And in case you're wondering what his relationship is to Spider-Man, Jake Gyllenhaal was actually briefly considered to take over the role if Tobey Maguire couldn't resume his duties because he injured his back while shooting Seabiscuit in between Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2, and Jake was stepping in case he couldn't come back. So that's pretty interesting, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Ooh.
But then they decided they were only going to hire 13-year-olds to play Spider-Man.
Right. Right. That's exactly what happened. But so, yeah, it would be, I guess, Jake Gyllenhaal and Tom Holland again. That would be nice, right?
All right.
All right. I'm in. Okay. And do you guys know who Glenn Burke is?
Glenn Burke?
No, yeah. I don't think so.
I'm a Glenn Beck man, not a Glenn Burke man.
I wouldn't be proud of saying that, really. Really?
He used to follow me on the radio.
Oh, no.
Glenn Beck. Yeah, he was the DJ on after me at our radio station one time. But, yeah.
How was he back then? Pretty cool?
I never could have predicted what he would become. I'll tell you that.
Now,
who is Glenn Burke?
Well, Glenn Burke is actually a former Dodger. And then I believe, was he traded to the A's? But he was the first Major League Baseball player to be publicly outed as gay. This is in, like, 1977, 78. But you may also remember him. 30 for 30 did a big show on him because he's the one that invented the high five.
What?
Yes.
No kidding.
Someone invented that?
Yes. And now there's going to be a movie about him. Here's how the high five reportedly happened. Dusty Baker hit a home run, rounding the bases. Burke raised his hand in celebration, and then Dusty Baker was like, thrown off by the gesture. So all he could think of to do was to raise his hands and slap Glenn Burke's hand, thus creating the high five.
That's insane.
Isn't that nuts?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I can't believe they were able to
pinpoint it.
Pinpoint when the first one was.
Yes.
Yeah. Because there's been the first of everything.
Exactly.
But that's an amazing story.
Right?
Now, I have to ask, Allie, and forgive me if I'm putting you on the spot because I know you don't know everything about this.
What was the score of the game?
Was he outed or did he come out as gay? That was the thing.
He was pretty much... he never came out and said, I'm gay, but...
Okay, so it wasn't an Ellen DeGeneres type situation, right?
No, but I remember if memory serves me correctly, when he was on the Dodgers, whoever the skipper was at the time had said, I will pay for a honeymoon for you if you just get married. And he's like, to a woman? And that was kind of the first
really?
thing when the whole team pretty much knew he was gay. And then he befriended Tommy Lasorda's son, who I believe was also gay. God, I could be really wrong in all this, but I'm almost positive.
A lot of guessing going on here, people. You're going to want to double check all of it.
But then he went up to, it had to be the A's because of the guy, Billy Martin. He used the word, the F word, a lot in the clubhouse, and that that was a slight problem. So he wound up leaving baseball.
Well, that sounds like a fascinating story, and imagine how brave you'd have to be to come out as a professional athlete when, I would say in 2018, 95% of gay athletes are still in the closet.
All right, let me add another layer of how brave he must have been.
All right.
African-American.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
all right.
That's rough.
And he invented the high five.
What if I was wrong about everything and he's really just a white guy? All of that. People listening are like, wait, I don't think any of that is correct.
He didn't play baseball.
It's possible the last minute and a half was all made up.
He played lacrosse. And there was actually no high five.
Double check that.
Yeah, double check all of that. But I would bet I'm right about most.
Now, Kevin, you always talk about these people who have an obscure claim to fame.
Right.
Imagine trying to convince somebody that you invented the high five.
That's a pretty cool thing, though.
Right?
But no one would ever believe you.
Yeah, that's
right?
True, unfortunately. But you know what? High five? That was me.
Yeah.
No one would believe
that,
it. Yeah,
ever.
You're right.
So we'll all believe it when the movie comes out.
All right.
Why?
People being sad.
And great news, again, for Bean. Amazon has renewed their series, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, for a third season. And that's even before the second season has finished being produced.
Love that show so much.
Of course you do. It won a couple of Golden Globes, a Peabody Award. Like, it's doing pretty good.
It's delightful.
It is delightful. And you might have seen this last week. Steven Tyler made some headlines on James Corden's show. He does a segment called Spill Your Guts or Fill Your Guts, where you either pick to tell the truth about something or you have to eat something really gross. So Steven Tyler was asked a question about how much he has spent on drugs during his life, or he'd have to eat head cheese. Well, Steven decided, easy, no big deal, going to answer the question. Said he'd easily spent about $2 million on drugs in his career and said, quote, I snorted half of Peru. That's
more truth than James wanted?
Probably. He's like, dude, just eat the head cheese. I don't know.
Heroin, speed, uppers, downers, blues, morphine, methadone, mushrooms, quaaludes, acid, Valium, barbiturates, straight LSD, marijuana laced with opium, Nembutal, mescaline, of course, and medicinal methylquinone, which made me shake uncontrollably for 6 days and vomit on the hour.
There's Steven Tyler there from the show.
That sounds fun.
It's a lot of stuff.
By the way, he was just guessing a ballpark $2 million. That could have been four, five, six to him.
Yeah. Because think of all the free drugs he got.
Right?
That's just money he spent.
If you're Steven Tyler and you think about the hundreds of millions of dollars you've made as the singer for Aerosmith for 50 years, $2 million, probably worth it. It's probably worth it for the good times he had. What do you think?
I mean, it didn't sound like he sounded sad about it.
Yeah, like you and I would go, oh my God, that was my retirement I snorted.
Well, but
for Steven Tyler, $2 million, that's a tiny fraction of what he's brought.
That's nothing.
Yeah, probably
so
true.
He's probably okay with it.
I need more info on this story that just crossed the wires. Barack and Michelle Obama have signed a Netflix production deal. They will be working on scripted and unscripted series, as well as docuseries, documentary films, and features under this multi-year deal.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant mother like you.
Okay, have they been known in the past for all the producing they've done?
Not that I'm aware of.
I heard, and this might not be true, that Barack Obama's goal once he got out of office was he wants to star in a new version of Jackass. He's going to be
I think he's just going to be out there just riding motorcycles.
I heard that was true.
I think you want to source this whole happening.
This entire segment.
I heard it was true. When I leave Washington, I want to be in a porta potty. They turn upside down. He just wants to go for it all and just do it. So it's awesome that Netflix signed him up for that.
Well, according to Netflix Chief Content Officer Ted Sarandos, this is his quote. Barack and Michelle Obama are among the world's most respected and highly recognized public figures and are uniquely positioned to discover and highlight stories of people who make a difference in their communities and strive to change the world for better. So is it about access? Do you use them for access to these people?
That sounds way more boring than the idea I had. I'll tell you that.
I like beans.
I like the jacket. Let's stick with that. Stick with the jacket.
So what happens when we go out to a party with some sisters, huh? Blam! They on us like there's no tomorrow. High school chicks, university chicks, it don't matter.
When did he say that?
That was his,
I think he was reading his...
the audio version of his book.
Wow.
His biography.
Good times.
These are facts.
All right, some birthdays for you. Singer Gautier and actor Mr. T. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. On your drive home today, listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour.
You're right
back there. Of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. How do I talk over Kenny G?
Right.
Just go for it.
Tomorrow morning, what's up with Florida? Kendrick Lamar stopped a song on stage because he brought up a white girl to sing rap with him, and she used the N-word.
And then did he say, bitch, don't kill my vibe?
That's odd, right? Hmm. Because he brought her up on stage.
Right.
Knowing the lyrics.
Mm-hmm. I take it we'll be discussing that tomorrow.
I think so. And we've also got your first ever Pixar Fest tickets at Disneyland Resort. That's tomorrow morning.